Welcome to Resiliency Redefined. I'm your host, Robin, and I am thrilled to share with you information about resiliency, well-being, performance, education, business, parenting, and everything in between. I'm committed to joining you each week to talk about these big ideas and bring them into action, habits, tools, strategies, tactics that allow us to finally uncover what it takes to truly be well. And I'm just so excited that you're here. Welcome back. I'm excited to have you here on this episode of Resiliency Redefined. Today, the big idea I want to jump in here with you about is this idea around social comparison. So actually, it was fascinating. So just this morning, I was talking to a dear friend and we were talking about this idea about how, you know, we can be having like a really great day, things could be going pretty positive. And then all of a sudden, on, you know, some level, we might notice that like our mood tends to shift, or perhaps we notice that we're noticing that we're carrying all of a sudden this little bit of this feeling that doesn't feel so great. And when we pause and retrace our steps, like, where did I pick up this mood? Where did I pick up this emotion? Where was I like triggered, or where was I activated? What my friend was able to share with me, so often she notices for her in her situation, it's because she's engaged in some form of comparison. And that is this like part, that's that like behavior that she notices, like definitely pulls us away from our feelings of being competent, steady, like we're on the right path. So I thought I would love to spend the next 20 minutes with you sharing some thoughts around why do we do social comparison? What does it serve? And what can we do to perhaps mitigate some of those like rougher edges about how it really impacts our mood? So if you also happen to be someone who sometimes gets pulled into that trap of social comparison, this episode is for you too. So taking a moment to think about, okay, what actually is social comparison? And yes, we'll talk lots about how like social media is exacerbating this, but essentially the idea, we are social beings. We are created to be in community. It is the best chance of our survival to be able to fit in within the group. And when we are in these groups that are actually like immediately in our surroundings, or even we know are out there, and again, with social media, that, oh my gosh, the expanse in which we have things to compare ourselves to, it's so exaggerated to what it was like even say 20 years ago, let alone 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. So we are these social beings, these sentinel beings, these social sentinel beings, and part of our survival is being able to fit in, being able to like be able to navigate our resources, to be able to be included in the group. So we are like wired to compare ourselves to other people because we have to kind of essentially know where we stand. And what the research shows from an evolutionary perspective, this is wildly functional. Like social comparison keeps us alive. It keeps us ensuring that we have resources coming in and we're doing okay. Now, I remember when I was teaching first year psych, maybe second year psych, social psych, we used to unpack social comparison also with the threat of jealousy and what that meant. And I feel like I just remember my students getting so excited to like understand this. So I'm excited to share it with you here. And so imagine this, if you like walk into, let's say we're, a heterosexual sample and like we walk into a party, let's say we're in our kind of, you know, mate selection years. So let's say, you know, 18 to 25, I'm just using rough numbers. And we walk into a party and there is like a very attractive woman at the party. Now, we would probably think that, again, in a heterosexual sample, like the boyfriend would notice the like hot girl before you would, right? Like the guys would always be, you know, kind of have a sense of who's in the party, who's in the space. But what the research shows is actually women will notice the attractive woman before a man would. And what's often the case is that, a woman will like look over, see this attractive woman who she might perceive as a threat. And then like the boyfriend or the husband or the partner kind of looks to be like, what is she looking at? And all of a sudden the wife is like, or the partner or the girlfriend is like, oh my gosh, you're checking out the hot girl. He's like, no, I was literally looking where you were looking and it just happened to land on this attractive woman. Okay, so what's the point of that? Well, the point is that we are hardwired to like assess threat. We are hardwired to assess, resources and sharing of these resources. So we get pretty keyed up when we see things that could be potentially threatening. Now, interestingly, this is what I always found fascinating. There's actually like a scientific ratio in terms of what we find the most threatening. Okay, especially for women in heterosexual samples. Again, I'm not 100% up to date with what it is in other samples, but this is the sample that I know that we talked about in my course. And what would happen is that it was actually the like shoulder to hip waist ratio. Depending on what the shoulder to hip waist ratio is, it's like perceived as more threatening or less threatening. And this is exacerbated for men. So a really broad shoulder with a smaller hip to waist ratio is very, very threatening to a man, because again, it's representative of again very primitive ways in which we used to be able to function in society. And for women, it is the hip to waist ratio is more threatening because that would represent fertility. So again, I love the fact that like we are hardwired to be able to see things from a resource perspective that are threatening. Now, as we've evolved, obviously, like we're not, in that kind of period of our evolution anymore, but there's like lingering effects that still are there. Now, we're not only looking at resources and fertility as threats anymore in terms of inclusion, we're now looking at like the resources in terms of prosperity. And what I mean by that, so let's say, for example, you are an entrepreneur. You're not probably looking at your competition and establishing what is the hip to waist ratio or the shoulder to hip waist ratio. What you're probably looking at in terms of evaluating the threat would be, for example, followers, would be success criteria, right? It would be awards, or it would be like success in terms of, where their products are getting placed or how much they made last quarter, right? So the threat is still there. However, it changes and it's evolving into like different factors. Right. So again, we don't walk into, as a professional speaker, I'm not looking at, hip to waist ratios as threatening. I might be looking at these people who are on these like really big stages or having an opportunity to be part of certain events. And that feels somehow threatening because the underlying current in all comparison is, am I going to be left behind? Will I be able to meet my basic needs? Am I going to be left behind? Will I be able to meet my basic needs? Food, shelter, survival, protection, the basics. So, when we recognize that we compare ourselves to others from these really, really old systems that are keeping us safe and making sure that we're okay, and we notice they've actually evolved to these different potential threats, it really helps us, I believe, to hold spaciousness for why these pulls are really strong, especially when we're feeling low resourced, which might look like tired. Could look like in that place of distress all the time. It could look like, feeling as though you've had lots of no's or lots of doors shut, and it just feels like everyone else is doing really well. So those are some of the like kind of scaffolding ideas of this like framework of why we compare ourselves. Am I going to be left behind? Am I going to have my needs met? Okay, so that's part of it. Now, what we do also know is when we look at tools such as like social media, they are exploiting this deep fear that we all have. Am I going to left behind? Will there be any left over for me? It's exploiting that need by literally bombarding us with all of this input that is making us feel like, gosh, we are never going to be okay, that there is never enough, that we are falling behind because everybody else, sorry, reframe, not everybody else, most people what we're seeing on social media is this like notion that like everybody else has this figured out. Personally, professionally, emotionally, spiritually, relationships, like it seems like everyone else has this figured out and we're being excluded. The reality, I have yet in my life to meet someone who has it all figured out. And I have the opportunity to meet with some really cool people and even people who I would hold with the highest esteem. Like, I mean, like literally like the Dr. James Rouses of the world, the Dr. Greg Wellses of the world, right? Like some of these remarkable people, I know that they still are learning. They're still growing. They're still evolving. And so even when we think that we've got this like top, like pinnacle of success, there's still room. There's still things that are going on. We don't see the whole picture. So my gentle invitation to get us started on this first is just to hold space that comparing ourselves is completely normal. What we do with the feelings, what we do with the behaviors after is going to be where we're going to get the best impact. And it could help us or it can hinder us, depending if we let those thoughts run wild versus that little bit of mental discipline, that little bit of perspective to be able to keep them in the containers that they really belong in. Okay, so what could that look like? So again, hold space that it's normal. Number two, notice how you feel when you're engaged in that behavior. See if you can catch yourself before you go too far down that social media comparison, that social comparison in general. Because again, what we are seeing is not necessarily reality. It is this curated highlight reel. It is a filtered, curated highlight reel of successes. And we're not seeing all the parts and pieces underneath or behind the scenes, even in the pulling back the curtain and the even then the hey, get ready with me, right? Like, no, like there's still this other part of this person's story or experience that we're not privy to. And that's okay. We don't need to know everything about everyone. It's just to recognize we have this social construct of an image, of this external facing image. So noticing when you're engaged in that comparison for harm, when it's hurting you, when it's hindering you, when it's sending you those markers and those pieces of information where you're interpreting it in the way of, I'm not enough, or I'm not successful enough, I'm not wealthy enough, I'm not healthy enough, I'm not smart enough, whatever that enough is. When you notice that, I want you to just catch it, right? Catch that comparison and do a wee bit of a reframe. Now, recently, I remember talking to someone about this notion that, self-awareness is a huge super skill that we need in our lives right now. You're absolutely right. Self-awareness is a wild skill that we need. However, if you consider yourself self-aware, but you're only noticing what's wrong with yourself, you're not self-aware. You're mean. That's what I think. If you only notice what is wrong with you and what you're not doing right or what you don't have enough of, you are not self-aware. You're actually just being mean to yourself. Because truly self-aware means, yeah, I see where my edges are. I see where my growth points are, things I need to improve, recognizing mistakes, 100%. But it also notices the good. It notices the development, the growth, the healing, just the character, the integrity. So if you're only looking at yourself with these harsh eyes of judgment and criticism and unworthiness, you're not actually self-aware. Because you need to also be able to see your gifts, your talents, your skills, your efforts, and your innate value simply because you exist. So I want you to hold space for both sides, all of it, that big, messy middle included, where some days I feel like it, some days I do not feel that way, holding space for all of it. We are perfectly and uniquely created in our own essence, and that's all of it. All right, all the parts. So noticing when we are comparing, recognizing it's normal, recognizing when we're using it and it's almost like it's exaggerating the negatives and we're not really seeing the positives. The other piece too that I would encourage you to think about is that if you are able to compare yourself to yourself, you're going to have the insight to notice those gains better. You'll have the insight and the awareness to notice the improvements, the growth, the healing. Now, what I mean by that is if you look at yourself and be like, okay, so let's say you are in a difficult conversation and you like avoided this difficult conversation for like a week. It was like gnarling away at you. It was like festering away. You ignored it. Like you put it off. You protested. You procrastinated for a whole week. And let's say the next time that you are faced with a difficult conversation, you maybe ignored it, avoided it, put it off, protest, whatever it is, procrastinate for maybe 3 days. That is improvement. That, my friends, is growth. So recognizing it's not about being perfect. It's like, wow, before I would like avoid that for 7 days or maybe 10 decades, a decade, whatever. Now I'm facing those challenging conversations with a little bit more urgency because I know on the other side of it is where I want to be. Right? Nobody wants to be in front of a difficult conversation. We want to have it in the past tense. So if you decrease that volume or that time by a couple of days, you're on the right track. Or let's say you notice you have a big emotion of anger, and let's say you don't express it. You don't digest your anger. You just let it fester away. But next time you feel anger, you actually let yourself be angry. And the way that I have framed this with my kids, it's like, hey, you can be angry, but that doesn't mean you, or you can be mad, but you don't be mean, right? So it's how do we behaviorize or how do we operationalize or activate the feeling with that behavior? You can be mad, but don't be mean. So again, feel your mad, feel your anger. Now, one of the things that's so fascinating, just on that little note about anger or being kind of mean, well, mean is this notion of this, we're mad, but mad is that root of anger. Why do we feel that way? Because there's an injustice. The part of you that's angry, I believe, is one of the parts that loves you the most and is trying to protect you the most because it is willing to stand up for you. Your anger, that part of you that's angry, that is the part of you that loves you so desperately that it is willing to push against the group or whatever's going on or that person because it wants to protect you. And what's interesting, I get asked this so often, Robin, especially as women, how do we let go of anger? First of all, you're going to feel it. I want you to feel angry. And then you know what? What is anger meant to do? Push away. Right? Break through the barrier or push away from it. So what's one of the best ways to like expel or digest anger? Push things. I kid you not. Literally push things. Have you ever seen like in workouts where people are like literally like pushing a tire or they're like, you know, pushing we in basketball there's a drill where we take pennies and we actually have the athletes like slide them on the floor with their hands. Okay, let me explain that a little bit more for folks who are like, pardon, what was that? So if you imagine like you're in like bear, so you're like on your all fours, but your knees are slightly off the ground. So you're like, I guess you're on your toes and your hands. Yep, that's right. Put your hands on pennies and you actually like slide the pennies across the floor. Oh my gosh, it is a crazy burnout workout. But what's amazing, that pushing feeling is so cathartic for your body processing and digesting anger. Okay, I digress. Notice again the feeling, right? Notice the feelings that these comparisons are doing. And then I want you to activate whatever system is going to let you feel the feeling. Not with judgment, not as if it's good or bad. Feel the feeling. And then I want you to action it so you can move beyond. You can move forward. So, to kind of land this plane, like I tried to do in the 20 minutes, social comparison is so incredibly normal. It's in our bones, it's in our just our processes, in our mental capacities. This is what we do. What we feel as a result of how we're comparing ourselves. This is where you have a little bit more agency to play around with it. Okay. And be your own scientist. Explore what does it feel like when you are in those positions, when you're perhaps comparing yourselves, and how do you hold space to recognize it's normal, but not get like, not like, don't marinate in your discomfort, right? Like, don't marinate in your misery. Feel the feeling and then just be like, wow, I caught myself there. I'm going to do a shift. And the best way to do any type of a mental shift is like change your environment. So if you're on that device, put the device, go outside, or do something that's in like that's not compatible. So for example, if you notice you're on the phone and you're scrolling, do something with your hands that doesn't allow you to hold your phone in your hands at the same time, like washing dishes or making snowballs or maybe baking cookies. Like just do something with your hands that makes holding your phone and scrolling like really hard to do, or what we call an incompatible behavior. Okay, so that's a lot coming at you at first thing in the morning. I do hope that that lands and it resonates with you. You are not alone in the social comparison camp. It's what we do to survive, but we want to make sure that we're using it in such a way that isn't actually hindering our growth and our healing and our development, that it's helping us. And the last little tidbit that I want to share with you, and this is what I shared with the group last week in Whistler. And oh my gosh, the group in Whistler, my Be the Better Broker group, Dustin's group. Oh my goodness, you guys are remarkable humans. It was such an honor and a joy to be with you last week. One of the things that we talked about with some of the folks there, people at the bottom are competing, people at the top are collaborating. So my invitation for you is when you notice, like, wow, look what that person's doing. Like, instead of being like, oh, they're just so lucky. Well, no, they work their asses off for it. That's one thing that I know to be true. Yeah, instead of saying, wow, they're just so lucky or they get all the breaks, I want you to ask yourselves, how can I be part of that group? How can I be a collaborator and a contributor with people like that? Because I want to learn more. I want to grow. I want to elevate my learning. I want to elevate my career. I want to be able to show up better for my family, whatever it is. When you see someone who is in a place where, you know what, even from the outside, it looks like, you know what, they're doing something right. I want to learn from them. I want to grow. I want to like get that kind of idea of what they're doing. Because I want more of that in my life as well. Ask, reach out, connect with them, be willing to be the student to that master behavior. Because I tell you, the people at the top are collaborating, and we will go farther when we raise each other up. So remember, cheers to the tides that raise all the boats. Have a wonderful day. Take good care. And please, please, please keep asking me your questions. I love being able to put a wee bit of psych, a little bit of behavior, and lots of love behind some of the suggestions and ideas that I share for you. So have a lovely day, and I'll connect with you next time. Thank you for spending time with this podcast episode today. I hope you found something helpful in Resiliency Redefined. Please feel free to share it with somebody who you might think could benefit. Maybe there was something useful, something in particular that you think you could pay forward. Also, if you have a moment, please feel free to rate and review this podcast wherever you like to listen to your podcast. It means the world to me. And again, thanks for your time. Thank you for your interest. Take good care, and I'll see you next time.